God's grace, mercy, and peace be yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Blessed New Year to you, and a blessed Epiphany season throughout the month of January, and especially on this day, Epiphany Sunday. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service today, Epiphany is the day in the church year that we remember the coming of the Magi, or the wise men, to Jesus Christ. It's in Matthew chapter 2, so you're going to need that passage available for you in the message this morning, so have that prepared. Verses 1, 2, and 11 are the key three verses that I want to share with you. As we begin this worship sermon series, I am giving through my living. The idea is that the desire for God in a giving lifestyle is that we not give a portion, but that we give of our entire lives, and that in doing so, we kind of discover what our life was always meant to be. So as we begin this morning, the gift that we want to desire to give in a greater way, in a more biblical way, is the gift of true worship. And so we'll begin with the Magi as an example of that this morning. We want to begin with a definition of worship based on these Bible passages today. And here is that definition. It is very intentional and specific. What is worship? It is the drawing work of the Heavenly Father to bring us to Jesus Christ, to see who He truly is, so that we will increasingly become who we truly are meant to be. It is the drawing power of God the Heavenly Father to bring us near to Jesus Christ, so that we would see who He truly is, and increasingly become who we're truly always meant to be. So let's look at Matthew chapter 2 together, verse 1, 2, and 11 especially, and answer some questions about who, what, and why with regard to the Magi and worship. I'm strolling, if you notice, over to the manger scene, which has changed from a manger scene to a house scene. Did you even notice? Can you guys even see it? Maybe not, right? So as I'm here, can you see the sheep and the shepherds and the cattle and the donkeys? No, they've been removed intentionally. But you can see the wise men gathered around Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And that's because of what's happening in Matthew chapter 2. Look with me at verse 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, stop, circle the word after. What's important about the word after? These events with the coming of the Magi to Bethlehem, the Magi don't come to the manger scene. They come to a house that Mary and Joseph are living in a year and a half later or something like that. So if you see a manger scene and it has shepherds and the baby Jesus in the manger and wise men there, that's not the way it happened, because the wise men don't show up till about a year later, something like that. Now, how do we know that? If you would read further in Matthew chapter 2, as these wise men come to Herod, Herod gets nervous, and he tries to kill all the babies in Bethlehem. And I don't know, do you remember what his command is? Kill all the babies in Bethlehem. How old? 2 years old and younger. So we know Jesus is kind of approaching 2 years old. So after all of that happens, what happens? During the time of King Herod, he's that very evil man, Magi from the east come to Jerusalem. Magi, astronomers, astrologers, kind of a mix of that, from the east. So these are not Israelites, they're people from the east. We know that Babylon is east of Israel, and a lot of people would assume this is where they're from. And the reason, they would have heard about the Messiah from the Jews who were held captive there. So God would have worked all of that in advance. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. What are they going to ask? Verse 2, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? So they are coming to understand by history, by their understanding of the stars, by their understanding of prophecy in the Bible and what the Jews have revealed to them, the King of the Jews has been born. Now, why do they go to Bethlehem? It's at the end of verse 2. We saw a star in the east. We've come to worship him. Their goal is to worship him. Later on in verse 11 with Mary, they're going to bow down and worship him. They're going to open their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So that's who is going on. We don't really know if there were three wise men. We just assume that because there were three gifts. So that's what is happening. or that's how everything is happening. What is their goal? And that's said in verse 2. Remember what it said? We have come to what? Worship him. So their goal is to worship Jesus. And they do so. They're humbling themselves before a baby and giving him golden incense and myrrh, right? What an amazing thing. The key to their worship, though, why did they come? Remember what it said? We saw a star in the east. So we recreated that. We put a lot of effort into this. We actually had to find this fishing pole and tape a star to it. And that's a lot of effort for your worship, right? So we saw his star in the east. How did that happen? What is the catalyst of their worship? This is so important for the message today. So there's been a lot of study on this. You can actually go to the planetarium in Chicago. There's a whole presentation on planets coming together and what they symbolize and astronomy and so on and so forth. And that's all good and right and helpful and beneficial. But the star actually leads them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem as well. So if you would read commentary after commentary, kind of the final answer of people is something like this. Yes, all of those other things are true, but this is the greatest realization. God the Father was directing it all. He set the right time. He set the right place. He can move a star. He can help a person understand the significance. So that is key to the message today. It's something like this. God the Heavenly Father is saying to people, even far away, may I have your attention? I'm going to bring you to kneel before my Son. Perhaps you'll realize who he really is. And you will be changed. And it will be good. That's worship. So that is the definition of worship that I'm going to give you today. If someone would ask you, what's worship? What would you say? Go to church. Wouldn't you? Worship is more than go to church. Because go to church can feel like this, an obligation for an hour that I must adhere to. Worship is more than that. Always was, always will be, if it's true worship. True worship, Father is saying, may I have your attention? I would like to draw you close to my Son, Jesus Christ, to humbly kneel before him, to see who he really is, so that you can become who you are truly meant to be. What an amazing thing to receive and give the gift of true worship. And as we think of, I am giving through my living, how can I give the gift of worship? It's amazing. I give the gift of worship to God. I receive more than I give in experiencing his Son. So I'm going to give this a title this morning. I'm going to call it Six Gifts Worship or Mary-like Worship. What do I mean by six gifts worship? After all, if you look at Matthew 2, verse 11, it ends this way. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. How many gifts are there? Three. Do I have counting problems? Don't answer that. What are the six gifts? Do you know? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and by tradition, Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar. Those three guys. What is the gift that God desires from us in worship? Our gold? Are you kidding me? Seriously, are you kidding me? God wants an offering? Read your Bible. It says over and over again, I don't want that. I want more than that. I want you. This is what I've always wanted. The only thing I ever desired. You. Because I love you. That's worship. So six gifts worship is saying something like this. The thing that God really wants is not just a part of something here and there, a smattering, maybe an hour, maybe a devotion, maybe an offering. Nope. Six gifts worship says, I desire all so that you draw near to my Son and experience him in greater ways and your life gets changed in greater ways. Now that's worship. Let me give it to you in another way. I'll call it Mary-like worship. Verse 11, what happens? They come to the house, they saw the child with Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. So Mary saw all that, didn't she? What is Mary's worship life like? I'm going to give you that in one word, evolving. Think of Mary. Did God get Mary's attention? Hello! Angels, having a baby, having wise men come to you, fleeing for your life to Egypt. God got Mary's attention. That girl's attention is gotten. So what happens to her? God is saying, I'm going to have your attention. I'm going to draw you nearer and nearer to my son. Did that happen? Absolutely. And Mary realizes what? Over her lifetime. This child is more than my son. He's my Lord, and he's my Savior. What would Mary learn during the course of her life? More and more and more. And what would happen? It would change her more and more and more. She'd draw nearer to Christ as she would realize more and more who Jesus Christ really was for him. That's worship. So today, let's begin with the definition of worship. What is it? It's Father saying, may I have your attention to draw you to my son, to experience him more fully, so that you can become more of who you're always meant to be. That's worship. Now, for you and for me, as we understand that, how can we apply that then to our lives for those who are near and those who are far? So maybe near Jesus, like Mary, distant from Jesus, like the Magi. They came from the east. So for those who are near, let's start there. Now, just begin. How would you describe yourself in relationship to Jesus Christ? Would you say, I am near? Or would you say, I am far? Where are you? There's a message for everyone in this message on worship today. So let's begin with the person who says, I'm near. I'm near the Lord. I love him. I'm here in church today because I love him. And quite frankly, I want to draw nearer to him. Help me do that. I want to receive and give the gift of pure worship to my Heavenly Father. So what's the lesson from the Magi as we look at this Matthew chapter 2 today? Is to realize the lesson that I just shared with you. The catalyst of worship is Father. And the Heavenly Father would say to you, if you are a person who's near him, he would say this, here's my desire for you in worship. I'm happy you're near. That's not my goal. Nearer is my goal. And Father is always for the near worshiper saying, may I have your attention to draw you to come to my son, to more fully realize who he is, like Mary did, and become fully more evolved into the person you were always meant to be by his forgiveness, by his power, by his grace. He's always drawing our attention, word, sacrament, prayer, experience, so on and so forth, to bring us nearer to him. So I'm going to give you pictures of that from Genesis 3 and John 5. Genesis 3. Do you realize what happens in Genesis 3? Adam and Eve have fallen into sin. That perfect relationship is broken by Satan. They're despairing. They're hiding in the garden. And the Bible says, Father is walking in the cool of in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, the words I'm going to tell you right now from Genesis 3, verse 9. I hope you can understand the painful, loving pleading of God. Because it's a beautiful image of God. It really is. Here's Father. Here's what God the Father says in Genesis 3, verse 9. Where are you? Do you get it? You're straying. Come near. God is the catalyst of worship, isn't he? Read your Bible, it's everywhere. Walking through your life, walking through time, where are you? Don't stray. Come near, come nearer. John chapter 5. Jesus has just performed a miracle, pool to Bethesda. Guess what? It's on the Sabbath day. Guess what? People are upset with him. Can you imagine that? So they're kind of like, well, what's going on with you, Jesus? And here's what Jesus says. My Father is always working, and so am I. That's why I'm doing this on the Sabbath. We're always working. Even on the Sabbath? Even on the Sabbath. My Father is always working, so am I. What is the Father always doing? May I have your attention to draw you to my son? Magi star. Experience him. Have your life transformed. Now, do you catch your challenge if you're near? Do you get it? If you are near the Lord, what is your challenge in worship? Listen carefully. Oh Lord, do not let proximity to you serve as a hindrance to greater proximity to you. Did you hear what I just said? The fact that you are near can be a barrier to drawing nearer. This should suffice for now. Father would say, where are you? If you are near, make this your prayer today in worship. Father, draw me closer. Like Mary, to more fully experience Jesus and be more fully transformed by Jesus. This is worship for those who are near. It is a beautiful thing rather than a weekly obligation. Now, for those who are near, what a wonderful thing to experience Jesus more fully and be changed by him. But what about those who are far? So a person may feel, well, actually, I feel that I am far from the Lord. I am distant like the Magi. What would you say of worship for me? Or maybe it is for you, you're saying, well, I'm a person who is near, but I love someone who is far, and I want to give the gift of worship to them and help them to see worship is not go to church. It is experiencing Jesus. How can I give that gift to them and have them fully understand what worship really is, like the Magi and like Mary? So for the person who is far, Jesus would speak to that person today. This same point, this catalyst point that I've been sharing with you is the key to the worship of the Magi in Bethlehem. And what is that point? Father is the catalyst. You know, for so many people who are concerned for the true, honest, loving worship of somebody else, and they're worried about that somebody else, the responses are often these: guilt, fear, placating. Guilt. What did I do that my husband doesn't worship? My son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter. What's wrong with me? Fear. I don't want to nag. It'll just push him away further. There's nothing I can do. Maybe pray. Fear. Placating. Well, I'm sure they've heard the word. I'm sure they'll come around someday. That's just a salve for me. Maybe they won't. What does Matthew 2 say to that person? It says this. Do you realize the nature of true worship and how wonderful this blessing is for you? Who is the catalyst of true worship? The Father, who is always drawing people to himself. Jesus says this in John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Jesus says of himself, when I am lifted up above the world, I will draw all men to myself. He's not nagging and compelling and manipulating. He is drawing into love. Draw near, draw near, draw near. Come close. So if you're concerned about someone today, you got a great gift. My Father is always working. I simply join Father in giving the gift of worship to those who I love, and Father will draw them, not me, him. What an amazing gift. But maybe you're a person who is feeling, no, I'm the far one. Or maybe you're a far one who is not in church today, but you're going to hear about this message from somebody who was in church today. You're going to wonder, what about me? I'm far. What is worship like for me? And it's a realization of what the Bible really says about worship. It's not being a sanctuary. That's part of it. I get it. But it's not just that. It's being drawn near to Jesus. So a person who's trying to give that gift of worship isn't scolding or nagging or anything like that. Trying to bless you because they love you. You know, think of relationships. How many relationships, like kids to parents, parents to kids, wives to husbands, husbands to wives, how many relationships just stay the same? They don't. They're always all evolving and changing and growing and so on and so forth. And in relationships, how many times do you hear a word something like this? Oh, you just don't get it. Like, right? Parents say to the kids, you just don't get it. You're too young to understand. You'll know it when you're older, like mom and dad. Something like that, right? Or kids would say to their parents, mom, dad, you just don't get it, man. It's just a different world today, right? Or I'm sure wives to husbands, right? Oh, man, they just don't get it. They just don't understand, right? All the men are saying, well, just help me, honey. Just bring me along. If we think that people just desire us to be in a building, we just don't get it. Worship is Father saying, may I have your attention? See my son? He's transforming you so you can be what you're always meant to be. That is worship. For those who are near, to draw near. For those who are far, to draw near. God bless us to be people who are more prepared to give the gift of worship today. Amen.